Your Bibles with us this morning into James chapter number four, and we just want to thank everyone for being here this morning. Thank all our visitors. It's good to see each one that's here, and we trust this morning that as you've come just seeking what God has. You know, we can sing for you, and we can read some scripture to you. I can even preach to you, but if the Lord's not in it, amen, it won't bless you like you need to be blessed, amen. But if you come seeking from the Lord will speak to your heart this morning. The Lord will get you past my poor singing and my poor preaching. The Lord will get you past everything in your life if you just come seeking Him this morning to be the one that brings the blessing. And in James chapter number 4, the Bible has a very poignant question that is asked. And this morning, if you would stand with us, if you're able, as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, we want to begin reading in verse number 13 to the remainder of the chapter. In verse number 13 of James chapter 4, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Brother Jim, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? As that we can just keep asking questions and we can just seek answers and we'll never fully understand anything regardless of all the questions that we ask. In verse number 14, the Bible asks a most poignant question and will be the thought for our message this morning. For what is your life? Have you ever stopped to consider just what my life is? Just what my life has amounted to? Just what my life has accomplished? And just where my life is leading me? And if you've ever asked yourself these questions, just what is my life? I think sometimes when we really sit down and account to what our life is, and if we try to compare it to carnal things, to earthly things, to worldly things, we'll realize that our lives will come up short and are coming up short. For we can have the greatest homes and have the less peace of anybody around. We can have the best job and make the most money and be the most miserable person on the face of the earth and in this world because the money can't buy the happiness. There's a song out. As I mow sometimes, I got the radio in my headphones, and sometimes the stations, the Christian stations, fade out, and I'll flip over to something else, and there's a country song that comes on there, and I just have to laugh at it. And it says, well, they say money can't buy everything, but it'll buy me a boat. Amen. Have you all heard that one? It's just so ridiculous. Amen. It'll buy me a boat and a truck to pull it, and I don't know what else, other nonsense. Sure, it can buy you all these things, but if people find out that things do not bring happiness, things do not bring contentment, people think, well, if I had this, it would just make me happy. They get it, and they're happy for a time, but pretty soon the thing no longer brings happiness. They're looking for another thing. They're looking for another option to bring happiness in their life. Stop and think about your life for a while this morning and just ask yourself, what is my life? Truly, what is my life? As the Bible asks these questions, he says, what is your life? And it gives an answer. He says, it's even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Your life is but a brief moment in time. In the scheme of all eternity, regardless of how long you live upon this earth, your life is just a less than a nanosecond in the scheme of all of eternity. I'm thinking from, and I'm talking about from eternity past. There never was a beginning. There never was a time. God always was, always is, and always will be. And from the time that God has existed, which is forever in the past, until the time that we see to the future when God will still exist, your life is just but a brief speck on the scope of things and on the scope of history in the world. The Bible tells us right here in James, it's as a vapor that appears for a time and then it disappears. It dissipates so quickly. I love the illustration that's used because it's so poignant and it touches and affects every aspect and every stage of life. We had a granddaughter that was born and she died as an infant baby in surgery 33 days after her birth. We've had the privilege of knowing folks who've lived to be centurions, lived to be over 100 years old. And as you look at a vapor, a trail of vapor steam off a pot that's boiling, some just barely make it past the rim of the pot and they dissipate. We had a friend that died, a young lady, 16 years old. She died in an automobile accident. That vapor trail went just a little bit further. And then others we see go on and on and on. But eventually, they all dissipate and they all disappear, irregardless of how long that they were. The Bible tells us throughout its pages, time and time again, that our lives are but a brief speck, a brief moment on the pages of time. The Bible tells us that our life is as a shadow that appears for a time and disappears. It vanishes away with the night. Job said it's swifter than a weaver's shuttle. It just goes so quickly. And you talk to someone, 10 years older than you are, and ask them how fast their life goes by. I've heard it all my life. The older you get, the faster time goes. And surely I can attest to that. It's true. It just seems like just yesterday we were having our homecoming. It seems like just a few weeks ago we had Christmas, and it's going to be here before you realize it and before you know it. Surely our life and our time is swifter than a weaver's shuttle. It's swifter than a courier's post. In that day when the mail was carried, just like in America, by the Pony Express, it was the fastest means of mail that had ever been devised and ever had been known by man. They could get a letter from one coast to the other coast in just a matter of a couple of days, as opposed to it being weeks to get there. It's swifter than a courier's post. Job said, man that is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. He withers like the grass. He grows up like the grass, and then soon he's withered away. He said, as a hand's breadth, a point in measurement, one of the smallest measurements in measuring something that the Bible gives us was a hand's breadth. Amen. That width as a unit of measure and the cubic and the furlong. We had different things that the Bible teaches us about. But the smallest one that I believe I can remember reading about was the hand's breadth. Our life is briefer than that. And then as the wind that passes by, the psalmist said, you ever feel a breeze? It passes by and it goes on and it's no more. It's done been past you. It's done went away. It's dissipated. It's gone. The psalmist said, is that a tale that's been told? Praise God. There's stories that are told and they're told over and over and over again. But when that story's told, it's over and it don't take long to tell a story. Our life is that brief in history. Our little life is that brief in time. And most of all, I want you to understand something. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says it's appointed unto man once to die. Your life is filled and your life is measured by time. But it ceases on an appointment that has been made for each and every one of us. Some, as the vapor trail tells us, are long. Some, as the vapor trails tell us, are brief. But what is your life? It's but a brief moment in time, irregardless of how long we live. And we go about our lives thinking that all this time that has been given me is time for me to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. But friends, you don't know when that time is going to cease to exist for you. It's opportunity that's been given unto us to come to a right relationship with our God, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Folks say, well, Pastor, that's all right, but I've got some wild oats I want to sow. I've got some things that I want to do first. And maybe when I get older, I'll surrender my life. You might not ever reach that place. You might not ever get older. Look around here. There's many of us that can tell you that it don't happen. Many people that have told me that one day they're going to get their heart right with God never did, because they took the time that God had granted them for granted. They took that brief moment I want to quit using eternity, but our lives are just but a space of time, a moment in eternity, that God has granted His grace unto us to trust Him as our Savior. You see, we were never created. Mankind was never put on the earth to live unto himself. Man was put here to live in the fellowship with God and to live unto God and to give ourselves to God. Sin separated us. If we count back a few thousand years to the Garden of Eden, and we can see where sin entered in and sin separated the fellowship between God and man. That's a time in history that began to mark the brevity of man's existence upon the face of the earth. Because now man was no longer eternal in this life and in this form and in this way. Because now man had sinned, and because man had sinned, the Bible said, "Ye shall surely die." The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He's granted us this time that we might surrender and submit ourselves and our lives unto Him, and that we might live for Him in this brief time that we have and give Him the glory. It is said that when you go down to the cemetery and you look on the tombstones, you see two dates that are etched there. On my dad's tombstone, there's the date, February the 13th, 1900. And then there's another date that says May 27th, 1965. And in between those two dates, there's a dash. What's our life? It's a dash between the time we arrive and the time that we depart. Our life is but a moment in time that is represented when we die by a dash that speaks of our life story. The Lord gave a illustration, a parable that He spoke in Luke chapter 19. He said, "Therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." That dash represents the time that we occupy upon this earth. That dash between the time that we're born and the time that we die represents a life and a legacy, a history, a story that is told by the way that we live our life. In the book of Ephesians and Colossians, it tells us that the time should be used to make a full use of the moments that are given us, redeeming the time. It says in Ephesians to redeem the time, for the days are evil. And certainly we can look around us and we can see the evil that pervades, and we can see that year by year things just get worse. Things aren't getting any better, folks. They're only getting worse. worse, just like God's Word has said they would do. And they're not going to be better 10 years from now. They're going to get worse. And if the Lord tarries for 20 years, I believe you'll only see it worse and worse. Because we see that now a man calls evil good and good evil. A man can kill somebody just out of wanton lust and wanton greed. And they say he's unworthy to be sentenced to death. That's inhumane and cruel. But we can take an innocent unborn child and we have no qualms about destroying that life and about parting the body parts out for money and for profit. We have called a good evil and evil good, and we've lost track of God's sense of morality, of God's sense of what is right, and of God's sense of the way that we should live, redeeming the time. Are you making full use and full purpose of the time that you've been granted, that dash, that space of time that God has given you for His glory? And we are told in Colossians that our time is to be used to live wisely before them that are without, to be a testimony and to be a witness, to warn those that are living outside of Christ of the danger of being there. What is your life? It's an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. What is your life? It's an opportunity to give your heart and your life to Jesus. What is your life? It's a space of time that tells your story. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But we don't have to die unprepared. For today is the day of salvation. What a special time in our life when we realized our need and we surrendered our heart and life to Jesus. Our life is a time when we can tell our children, and our life speaks volumes more than the things that we say. I've told you all, I like that song how we heard coming up the road about a year ago. It says you walk, and you talks, but you talks louder than you talks. Isn't that the truth? A lot of folks say one thing and live another thing. A lot of folks say they're going to do one thing and they're going to live one way and they live another way. Your life is an example. Your life is a witness. Your life is a testimony to those that are left behind of the way that you were, and the man or the woman, the boy or the girl that you truly are. And the Bible tells us that we have an example that is set before us that we can follow. An example that should lead us. Jesus told his parents when they came a look, his earthly parents, when they came a looking for him, and he said, wist thou not that I must be about my Father's business? Let me ask you something today. Are you living your life doing the things that God would have you do? Are you living your life honoring Christ with everything that you do in your life? Jesus said, wist thou not that I must be about my Father's business? In 1 Peter 2 and 21, says, for even hereunto were ye called, that Christ died for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. If he was busy about his Father's business, what should we be doing with the space of time that God has allotted us? What is your life today? Is it a witness and a testimony unto the faithfulness of God? Is it a witness and a testimony to the fact that you live surrendered and submitted and wholly committed unto giving God glory and honor with everything that you do? What is your life? What is that little dash in that space of time saying about you? What is it? What's more important to you, this world or the Lord? I like that old song says, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. You can have it all. He can have it all. And if he wants to take it all, it's his anyway. Amen. As long as I have him, I have all that I need. And as long as I live for him, I've done the best that I can do. Amen. Amen. And then look what else he says. Our lives are a legacy that points people to heaven or to hell. In Ecclesiastes 11:3, it says, "And if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be." God has given us a moment in time. He's given us a space, that dash, that we can answer the question of our life by the life that we live. And when we die, folks can look at us and they can look at the example that was left behind. Have we lived the example that Christ set before us? Have we submitted and surrendered our hearts and lives to Him? There is no makeovers. There is no do-overs. This is not a rehearsal, friends. This is the real thing. Amen. And your life will even witness about you when you're gone. They lived their life for Christ, or they lived their life for themselves. As a tree falls in the north or to the south, as it falls, there shall it be. There's no changing it. We're given the opportunity. We're given a space of time in this brief time that we have to realize that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the story. That's the story that the Christian should tell. That's the story that the Christian life should witness to. That's the story that the world needs to hear, to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's our opportunity to surrender our hearts and surrender our lives unto Him. But folks, when you die, regardless of what religion tells you, the Bible is clear. Hell is eternal. Hell is real. Hell is without mercy. And there's no escaping hell. They can't pray you out. They can't buy you out. They can't convince God to let you out. Where the worm dieth not, where the fire is never quenched. As the rich man in hell cried out, "I'm tormented in these flames." It's forever and ever and ever. Or as the old saying goes, it's forever and a day. It will never end. As the tree falls, so shall it be. There will it lay. You die without Christ. You die in your sin. You die separated from a God that loves you, a God that sent a Son to die and to pay your sin debt for you, a God that cared enough about you to send the very best that heaven had for you who were undeserving. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, and God gave His Son because we live in that space of grace, that dash that is between our birth date and our death date, and we have the opportunity to accept Christ as our Savior. But if we reject Him, it's not His fault if we split hell wide open. And it's not an if we split hell, it's when we split hell wide open if we reject Him. But that one that knows Christ, that one that realized they were a sinner according to God's word, that realized they deserved to die according to God's word, that realized that God loved them so much that He commended His love toward them, and that while they were yet sinners, because they were sinners and had no hope for themselves, Christ died for them and accepted that. And as Christ Jesus into their heart, their eternity is going to tell a different story. their legacy is going to tell their children and their friends and the family that have been left behind a different story. It's going to tell them a story of hope. It's going to tell them a story of perseverance. It's going to tell them a story that it's worth to keep on keeping on and keep on living for Christ Jesus. Friend, we have an opportunity to leave a legacy behind, a legacy of doom and despair, a legacy of self-service and self-worship and self-indulgence, or a legacy of surrender unto Christ and the hope that it brings. The choice is ours. What is your life? What is your legacy? What is it that you're going to leave behind? What is it that you're telling the world by the life that you live? I don't know about you, but when the world looks at me, I hope they see Jesus. When the world looks at me, I hope they understand that I've sold out to Him. What is your life? A brief moment, a dash that is filled in by you. A series of questions that need to be asked and need to be probed within each one of us. The psalmist asked God the question, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? He's God's creation. He's created in God's own likeness and in God's own image. He's created to fellowship with God, and sin has broke that fellowship. Sin has separated and placed a great gulf between God and man, and sin has caused the God of all creation to be separated, because He is so holy that He cannot even behold sin to look upon it. But sin has caused God to have mercy upon us. What is man that thou art mindful for him? God's image, created from the dust of the earth and brought to life by the breath of God himself. God cares about man, because in every way God has created us just like him, that we might fellowship with him of a free spirit and of a free will, and because we want to, and not because we have to, not because the religion dictates that we will, but because God wants to have a personal, right relationship with each and every one of us. What is your life? God walked through the garden in the cool of the day. Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? Oh God, I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Adam, who told you that you was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree that I told you you should not eat thereof? Where is your life? Adam, where art thou? Rick, where art thou? Jim, where art thou? Brother Harvey, where art thou? Put your name in that place today and say, where am I in accordance to where God is and where God wants me to be? Ask yourself that question, because God's asking you, where art thou? Where are you at? When you realize where you're at, then you need to ask yourself this question. What do I have to offer God? Matthew, Jesus said, what shall a man give? Well, he asked the question first. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's not about what you have. It's not about who you are. It's about what you have to offer God. He says, and what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's absolutely nothing. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't be good enough. You can't do good enough. You can't give enough. What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Nothing that you think of as being tangible in this life. There's only one thing that you can give. And the only thing that he will accept. And that's your life. He said, if any man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants your life. He wants your whole heart. He wants your undivided loyalty. That's the only thing that you can give him. Through his son. By his son. And because of his son. In the precious blood that was shed. What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? I have nothing that I can give you, Lord, but here am I. I believe I'm a sinner on my way to hell. I believe you sent your son to die for me. And I believe because you said, if I shall call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. And Lord, this is all that I can do. It's all that I have. Why? Because it all belongs to God. Why? Because your very life belongs to God. Why? Because God knew that there was nothing that man could do to change his life. The Philippian jailer realized that when God moved his way. And the earth shook and the doors flew open and the prisoners were all freed and unbound. And he was ready to commit suicide. And Paul said, we're all here, do yourself no harm. And the Bible says he thrust in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. With all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Your life is a series of questions. Where are you at? Only you know that. And God knows that. What can you do and what can you give? You know what is in your heart and you know what has to be done. How can you be saved? Trust in Jesus. What can I do? God says, who will go for us? Who can we send? The prophet Isaiah says, here am I. Send me. Send me. What is your life? Is it busy about the master's work? What is your life? Is it a life living unto yourself, dead and on your way to hell? What is your life? Are you redeemed by the blood? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? What is your life? A moment in time to be filled in by you. But ultimately to be accountable unto God. What is your life today? Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song of invitation.